Well, praise the Lord, everyone. So wonderful to see all of you here this morning, and I think there's still some people downstairs who will be coming up. But it's wonderful to see you all here this morning, and of course, today is kind of a special weekend. This marks the 40th anniversary of the founding of this church. We're very excited about that. We're going to have church like usual, though, and we're going to worship the Lord for a while and sing some songs. Before we do that, though, I want to open with a prayer.
Hallelujah.
Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this opportunity to gather in Thy name. We thank Thee for this opportunity to worship Thee. We ask, O God, that Thy Spirit, Thy Holy Ghost, Thy presence would be upon each and every one of us. We ask, O God, that Thou wouldest anoint this service, that Thou wouldest help us, bless us, strengthen us, guide us, direct us, lead us. We ask, O God, that Thou wouldest inhabit the praises of Thy people here this morning, and that we would truly worship Thee in spirit and in truth. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. All right. Before we start, I just want to mention real quickly, for those of you who weren't here yesterday, we have a couple of new CDs available. This first one is called My Jesus, I Love Thee, and it contains piano instrumentals performed by Shirley. It's a very nice CD. And then we also have this compilation of Pastor Meyer singing various choruses. Both of those are available downstairs if you would like to get one later. So we're pretty excited about that. We're going to open our Melodies of Praise hymnal this morning, and we're going to sing some songs. Praise the Lord. I would like to start with number 19 in this Melodies of Praise hymnal, Deeper, Deeper.
Yet I pray.
That's what we need, to go deeper and deeper to know the Lord better every day. Praise the Lord. Why don't we go to number 175, He is able to deliver thee. Deliver thee. Praise the Lord. Why don't we go to number 198, Jesus Saves.
Jesus saves, sing along the battle strife. highest hills and deepest caves. This a song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
So happy to know this morning that we have a Savior, that we have Jesus, and we can only have salvation through Him, for it tells us in the book of Acts, there is salvation and none other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Praise the Lord.
Praise.
Glory to God. Well, why don't we go to number 22, and just a closer walk with Thee. Song I'd like to sing. We sang it yesterday, and I kind of had it stuck in my head. Just need to find the number. All right, number 288, the old account settled. If you could do that for us. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Father in heaven, we thank thee for these tithes and offerings. We know, O God, that these funds belong to thee. They are not ours. We ask, O God, for thy wisdom on how they should be used to further thy kingdom and thy glory. We ask that thou hast blessed the givers and also bless those who are unable to give. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, I think we'll sing one more song. And then after that, Mom is going to come up, well, Shirley to the rest. She's going to come up and say a little bit about the founding of this church, seeing as it is the 40th anniversary. And she remembers it a little better than I do, since I wasn't born yet. I'm only 30, so the church is actually 10 years older than I am. But I would like to sing 107 before we go into that. Glory to His name. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name. Jesus so sweetly abides within, there at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to precious fountain that saves from sin, I am so sweet glad I entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to His so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge into day and be made complete. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood of. Glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name, there to my heart was the blood applied, glory to His name. Such a wonderful thing to glorify the name of the Lord. All right, well, we'll have Shirley come up here, and feels weird to call her that. She's always Mom to me, but she's going to tell us a little bit about the founding of the church.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Praise
Praise the Lord. We had a good time yesterday. I just thank the Lord. We just let the Lord work here. And we had some really good prayer last night. And I just trust the Lord worked here. And oh, wow, you know the things that we have need of. But our God is so able to do that. We just have faith and believe God. Praise the Lord. You know, and I look at 40 years as a new start, actually. I know Moses, his life was kind of in increments of 40s, and he was 40 years in the wilderness, and when he was 80 years old, the Lord called him out to take the children of Israel out of Egypt, and he was there for 40 years until he was 120, and the Lord used that, you know, I'm thinking of going forward. I'm not thinking of looking back, believe me, because yes, thank God for the things that are back there that were good, that we could use to have faith by. But boy, there's no looking back at all. In this walk with the Lord, we've got to go forward. We can't look back. Otherwise, we're going to become a pillar of salt. We're going to be run over. You know, there's no way. We have to go on. We have to go forward. We have to have faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. If we could, let's just go to Hebrews for just a moment here. The 11th chapter. Just going to read a few verses. And just going to talk a little bit about faith, because I believe this church was founded upon the faith of Jesus Christ. And we've got to keep that faith, otherwise, oh my, we're going to perish like everybody else. I've seen so many people perish. It's unreal. I've seen church organizations go down the drain and become something that's less than what God would ever want them to be, believe me. And I see faith diminished in great ways, and I understand quite well why Jesus asked that question: when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? Because, wow, you know what? There's much more to attain. There's much more to see than we are seeing. But it's all pertaining to faith and obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just read a few verses here in Hebrews 11. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which were seen were not made of things which do appear. Amazing miracle of the creation. Just on the word of God. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. Praise the Lord. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I'm just going to stop there. These scriptures, you could stop on every verse and give a sermon, I think. But anyway, here it is. We need faith here in this end time. And it states so definitely here that without faith, without it, you can't please God. When we come to God initially, you've got to come in faith. You've got to believe that he is. You've got to believe that Jesus is the Son of God before you can come to him. You've got to acknowledge him as Lord and Savior. You've got to believe that the Almighty God put on flesh and came to this world to save us from our sins. And if you don't believe that, you can't come to him. It's so imperative. It's so necessary. So you've got to have, there's got to be that faith in the Lord. Yes, I was telling Maya, and thank God we have a baptism in a while here today. And it's the Lord that puts that faith in our heart. It's the Lord that calls us to salvation. If he didn't call us, there would be no hope, and we would be without God in this world. But thank God. It's a marvelous thing. It's the goodness of the Lord that brings us to repentance. And we have that wonderful gift from God, that gift that he puts within us, that we can understand who he was when he was on earth, how he came to save us from our sins. You know, most of the Hebrews were blinded there when Jesus came the first time. Most of them didn't see and understand. They just thought he was the son of Joseph. But praise the Lord, there were a few that could see and understand. Peter had that revelation that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He could see. He knew who Jesus was. He knew he wasn't just a man. He wasn't just the son of Joseph. In fact, he wasn't part of Joseph at all. But praise the Lord, Jesus said, flesh and blood hath not revealed it to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. God told him. God showed it to him. It was in his heart. And it's like for all of us, the Lord reveals himself to us so that we might see and know, that we might reach out to him and have faith and know God and walk with him and do his will and live for him. Praise the Lord. The gift of salvation is so wonderful. Praise the Lord. And I just add this. I just wrote a new track. It's downstairs called The Goodness of the Lord. And I just pray the Lord will use it because it leads people to repentance. If you want to use it, there's plenty of them, and we'll certainly publish more if we need to. But praise the Lord. It's such a beautiful thing that God has had mercy on us. And, you know, it just was such a thing that... I know Pastor and I were in Madison before we came here, and you know, there we worked in that church there, Calvary Gospel Church in Madison, for a year, and we were highly involved with campus ministry as well as other endeavors in that church, and I took some classes at the university, and I worked with the students, and I also taught a campus group, and David too. Every week we would gather down there in one of the rooms and meet with students, and you never knew who was going to come. You know, it just might be some total unbeliever. Who knows who might show up? So it was highly challenging, but we loved it. And you know what? The Lord brought people. There were students that we reached out to, and we baptized quite a few of them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we baptized quite a few of them, and we saw the Lord work in mighty ways. We worked with other people in the church, and we saw good things happen while we were there that one year in Madison, Wisconsin. But then there was this tug in our heart. And we felt like we needed to do more. And I think one day we were maybe coming back from, who knows, Clintonville or Eau Claire or someplace. And there was a problem with a old Chevy. And I forget if it was a flat tire or just what. And lo and behold, we have to go off the interstate there and come into Beaver Dam. So it happened. And it just was something about it. You know, we just... stopped at this place, and we just wondered, because the Lord was dealing with us about doing another work for him, and we just wondered, well, is it Beaver Dam? And it was right there, and you know, a little while after that, we came to just look and see, well, maybe there's property. And it was really amazing, because we were really poor at that point. You know, we just really had no money, or just living paycheck to paycheck. I was a student and he was working a job there in Madison, but you know, we had no abundance of money by any means. Just, you know, and you didn't need all that much money in those days, but anyway we didn't have much either. But we had something called faith in our heart, and a desire that the Lord could use. And you know what? If you want to be used by God, you got to make yourself available. You know, it's not because we have talent or intellect or great strength or something that the Lord calls us. It's not because of that. It's because we yield our life to the Lord. We give our life to the Lord. And we say, here I am, Lord, please use me. And God sees that when you make yourself available. He uses that. And so we had that in our heart, and pretty soon we came to look for property, and we just had it in our heart that we were going to buy a house. And I look back and I marvel, because, again, we had no money. We had no savings, and we just had, you know, a little money in the checkbook that was pretty much probably all already called for. But anyway, we just knew that the Lord was going to give us a house. And we went to a real estate agent here in town. And sure enough, there was a house for us. And it had been repossessed. It was on a HUD program. And I remember just looking up at the picture on the wall and thinking, I like that house. It was a big white house with black shutters and you know, plenty of room. And I'm thinking, we're going to have a church in that house, you know. And lo and behold, we inquired about it, and it was available. The only thing is, in order to get that house, they had to draw your name out of this particular drawing because it was special. I don't know if there were a lot of people that already wanted it or just what it was, but you just couldn't just go buy it because it had been repossessed and blah, 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 blah. But anyway, it was really something because not only, I mean, it had been unoccupied for a couple of years and some real estate agent had come in and redone the house too, renovated it. So I don't know, it was just kind of sitting there ready, waiting for somebody. But it was empty for quite a space. But in the meantime, okay, so here's this program and they have to draw our name in order for us to have this house. And it was really something because the story is that the first time they drew our name, yes, it came, they drew our name. And they said we couldn't have it because our income was too low. And then they did it a second time. There was a second drawing. And again, no, they can't have it because their income is just, you know, they're looking at our statements and, you know, what we were making and what we could say. And their income's just too low. How can they have this house, you know? But praise the Lord. I remember getting down on my knees and just saying, Lord, you know what? We're going to have a church in that house. There's going to be people that are going to be brought to you, Lord Jesus. We need that house. And I said, Lord, if it be thy will, Lord, you know, you can make this happen. And you know, it was an amazing thing because the third time, yes, they drew our name again. And this time the supervisor came out there and said, I don't care if their income is too low. They're going to have this house. Praise the Lord. So the Lord gave us this house and you know, I'm still living there. But you know, God is so good. And you know what? Men may think they're in charge, but there's an almighty God who sees everything and knows everything and cares, and he's the one who's in charge. If God says it is going to happen, it's God who won this world. It's hanging by the word of God. It's just spinning around on his axis. They don't know how that happened. How can it be that something this big could just spin around? But it's because of the word of God. God spoke it and it happened. And so it is with our lives and we give them to the Lord. If God declares it, it's going to happen. And he knows how to keep us. He knows how to lead us. He knows how to hide us. You know, we're his people. We're the sheep of his pasture. It's a wonderful thing when the Lord brings us to salvation and we give our lives to him. But praise the Lord, the Lord gave us that house. And yes, that first year we had church in a house. And I'll tell you what, it was a pretty exciting year. We had three families initially that had been in a Milwaukee church. And we were all young. We were 24 at that time. And everybody was young in the congregation, except I think the Smudlocks were older. But anyway, three families. And they had actually been drug dealers, some of these guys. And so that brought us into a jail ministry, actually, at that point. They knew some of these guys in jail. And praise the Lord, we'd go there. I'd have my accordion, and we'd, you know, we'd sing and pray with them. And God was talking to their hearts. And in the meantime, the Lord was working in our house, too. And you know, that little group, I kind of worried sometimes we get too noisy for the neighbors because they're pretty close. But anyway, we had some wonderful, wonderful times in the Lord there. And God began to save people. He began to save people. this couple, their names are Louie and Sandy. Oh, boy, they all had rough, rough, rough backgrounds. However, though, the Lord was dealing with their heart, and they came to church, and wow, the Lord showed them their need to repent and to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we had a cow tank in the basement there. We were baptizing people. We baptized quite a few people that first year right in the basement of our house. And I'll tell you what, when they were baptized, after they came up, we had a special speaker with us that night. Bill Sisko was with us that time, and he, you know, could see they're coming out of really rough backgrounds. But God was working in them, and God was changing their hearts, and they were chain smokers, just totally addicted to cigarettes. And Brother Sisko stood there, and he said, you know, you want to get rid of that addiction? You want to get rid of it? He told them how to flush those cigarettes down the toilet and stomp on them and destroy them. And he said, wow, whenever that thought comes to you that you want to smoke, you remember all the horrendous things they've done in your life and how they've bound you in chains and how they're destroying your life and your health, and rebuke them in the name of the Lord Jesus. And you know what? They stamped on those cigarettes and trampled them in the name of the Lord Jesus and destroyed them. And you know what? God completely took that addiction out of their heart. It was completely gone. It was completely gone. And you know what? Then the laying on of hands, we prayed for them, and they received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. And they were changed. They were absolutely changed. You wouldn't even have recognized them after that. But there was an entire different person walking in their shoes after God worked in them. And I'll tell you what, Louis had had epilepsy for maybe all of his life. And a few services after that, there's special prayer, laying on of hands. God healed him of epilepsy. He never had a seizure after that again. And I'll tell you what, that's the power of God. If he could do it for Louis, he could do it for you. No matter what your sickness is, no matter what your ailment is, God can heal. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is God, and he changes not. And he's a mighty God. He wants to help us. If people will just believe him. You know, I know Brother Lance, when he was here, he'd tell us that in foreign countries, people reach out to God. He preaches. He would preach it at that point, and they would receive all kinds of miraculous miracles and works of God because they have that simplicity of faith. A simple faith as a little child. And we have to come to God as a little child. You know, we have to lay down that pride. We have to humble ourselves before God, or he's not going to hear us. Listen, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's no righteous, none righteous, no, not one. And we, you know, the wages of sin is death. But praise the Lord, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And praise the Lord, we can come to him. We all need to come to him. You know, so many would not receive salvation because they would not humble themselves and come to Jesus. Oh my, the old way will not do it. It will not lead us to eternal life. Sin is going to lead you to hell, and sin cannot enter into heaven. I don't care what people say and what they're declaring. Sin is not going to get you to heaven. We have to give it to the Lord and let him clean us up. We have to come to him in repentance and surrender our life to God. Or otherwise, there's no hope. But praise the Lord, there is hope in this day and hour that we live, and God is the same. He can save to the uttermost. He could turn lives around. I remember one night there in our home, for some reason, Pastor was sick. He was upstairs. And I had one of the men give their testimonies, and he did. And then I said a few words, and we were praying. And this young man, his name was Warren, I believe. And, you know, I could see he's praying. And I went over there. I could see faith in his heart. I went over and laid hands on him and began speaking in other tongues. I mean, you know, Pastor, he was coming downstairs. He had to see what was going on. The Lord was working. And you know what? I praise God. Because, you know, the Lord can change lives. And there were many people that came. Oh, Lord, thank the Lord that first year received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Went down in the waters of baptism in the cow tank in our basement. And wow, I just, you know, we saw the Lord do wonderful things. And then after that time, we felt like we needed a building because the group had grown quite a bit. It was quite a group. We had just basically an empty house then. I was pregnant when we came to Beaver Dam. I was 7 months pregnant and soon had a little girl. But, you know, it still was a big house. four or five bedrooms or whatever you want to call them with a full attic. And you know, I thank God he blessed us with 8 children as time went on. But at that time it was pretty empty. So, you know, we had space, but, you know, it was filling up a little bit. And just thank the Lord that he gave us this building after a little while. And this building, it was a Greek Orthodox building. It was really different when you saw it then. There was this big barricade in the front here and icons all along it and you know, Greek this and that. It was a Greek Orthodox church. There was this font that they had that they used for baptisms. They believed in immersing babies or whoever because they realized that the word baptizo in the Greek means to fully immerse. They cut that straight. So they realized if they baptized the baby, it had to be immersed. You know, they had that straight. But, of course, there was many other things they didn't see, and they were bound by tradition and the regulations of man. But thank God the Lord gave us this building for $10,000. And we were able to change it and pray out the evil spirits and trust the Lord. And God began to work in this place. We spent a little time renovating it and making those changes, and God began to pour out his spirit in this place and work in hearts. I can remember those early days, there were some flyers that went out at different places, and I don't know how the Lord worked this exactly, but somehow we came in contact with these people in Marcus Land, this little country town to the northwest of us here. And it was really something because these people had been just praying for somebody to come, it seems. And I had little children at that point. I'm trying to remember, I think Nate was a baby at that point, my second. And so anyway, I couldn't always go, but sometimes I did. But anyway, Pastor was having studies with these people and teaching them this truth, search for truth chart. Yes, that's all we knew at that point. And but anyway, the Lord was working. And these people had faith. At one point, one young man, it was a 3 generations or so family here that would get together, and at one point one of the grandsons came in, his arm was all bandaged up, and he asked Pastor, he said, "Will you pray for me?" And he didn't say why or what was wrong or anything, but you know, he just all bandaged up, and Pastor, of course, prayed for him. The next week, or whenever that was, the next meeting, he came and said, "Pastor, you don't know what you did for me." What I did for you? Oh, the Lord Jesus had intervened. The Lord Jesus had healed him. He said, my arm was going to be amputated the next day. He said, it was gangrenous, and they were going to take it off. But you prayed for me, and the Lord healed me, and he still had his arm. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. In another case, one of the granddaughters, her name was June, as I recall, and she got in a car accident. She was young. She was maybe 17, 18 or something. Got in a car accident. Found her, I think it was maybe a university hospital or something. Went down to pray for her. And Pastor went in there. There wasn't much movement. There wasn't any movement, frankly, in the room. There's nobody else in there. He prayed for her. And you know what? She was actually dead. But the Lord brought her back. The Lord brought her back. Yes, the Lord caused her to stir, and then she came back. So the Lord does all kinds of miracles. He's the same God as he always was. But God did that for June, that she might have more years and live for him. And then the older man, Harley, he was in his 80s. And very dear, just very precious, had faith to believe God. But anyway, we got a call one day, and it so was that he'd had a heart attack. And they didn't really think he was going to live. They called all the family members together. Pastor went over there. Everybody was in the room, just gathered around, and the nurses were in there, and they had them all hooked up, and they were kind of waiting for the screen to flatline, and you know, it'd be all over. His heart would stop, and all of that. Well, I'll tell you what. The pastor would say this was the shortest prayer he ever prayed, but he went in there, and he just said, Jesus. He just said, Jesus, that name that is above all others, that name, oh, praise the Lord, none like it in heaven or in earth. And he just said, Jesus. And you know what? All at once the nurse shrieked, because that monitor that she was watching all at once was like this. It was moving, and he was completely different. The Lord brought Harley, oh God, back so that he had more time. And it was an amazing thing because I think perhaps this was on a weekend or something. And I know on Monday, Pastor called the family just to see how Harley was doing. And lo and behold, his wife said, oh, he's just out in the field. They were farmers. He's out in the field, he's working. I'll tell you what, we serve a wonderful God. And there's nothing too hard for him. If people will just believe, if people will just have faith, if we'll just have that simplicity to believe God, to humble ourselves and acknowledge that he can do all things, there's nothing too hard for God. But praise the Lord, we saw the Lord do so many wonderful things. And then, I suppose it was in 1981, there was a major change. I know that was the year Becky was born. It was just about the same time. She's a newborn baby, and I think it was maybe that June that Pastor started writing the Last Trumpet newsletter. And also what was happening at that point is we realized we needed to leave the United Pentecostal Church, that organization that we had been involved in. There were just many things. God had taken us out of the Christmas traditions. And that's a long story, a beautiful story, how God dealt with us with that. But anyway, we clearly knew we had to do that. And it wasn't the easiest thing to do because... you know, I remember saying, well, now we'll know who our real friends are. Well, there weren't too many left at all, not too many at all. In fact, they tried to say that Pastor had gone back into witchcraft and you know, it was all manner of evil against us, which wasn't true by any means at all. They didn't like it. We were going to give up one of the traditions. And there were other things that the Lord showed us that were wrong, and we knew we had to give it up. We just couldn't be a part of that anymore. But at that point, Pastor started writing the Last Trumpet newsletter, and I remember some of the people in the church left. Quite a few of them left. They wanted to hang on to the organization. And I can remember some of them just saying, well, now what are you doing? You know, like, we tried this, we tried that, and now what are you doing? He's writing a newsletter. I'll tell you what. The Lord used that newsletter. He's still using that newsletter. Praise the Lord. It was really something. I know we had a little seminar there at one of the savings and loan companies, I think. And initially, we just sent out 200 newsletters to people here in town, just not knowing what to do or how to do it. And praise the Lord, Gordon and Darlene showed up at that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And that was, it was really beautiful. The Lord brought them to us, and they were baptized in the name of Jesus. And it, oh, wow, what a wonderful, wonderful addition and a wonderful way the Lord worked. And I know their daughter had a friend, I think his name was Mike Matusik, and he too came to the Lord and was baptized. I think he received the Holy Ghost too, and he just had it to send the newsletter to some other publications. And the amazing thing is these other publications liked the newsletter, and they began to publish it. I think they published it in its entirety. And before we knew it, we were getting requests from all over the country and soon all over the world for the Last Trumpet newsletter. You know, it was the Lord. It was the Lord that did that. It wasn't ourselves. It was truly the Lord's doing. In fact, those people in the organization said, oh, you'll never make it. How can you make it alone? You know, and you won't have any missions funds to submit to or any other people there with you. And they all predicted that we were going to go under. But we serve a mighty God who knows how to help us. He comes to those that are poor. And, oh, he comes to those that are meek. You know, he comes to them, to those that have no strength. He gives strength. That's our God. And he held us up. He used that newsletter. Pretty soon we were having people come to be baptized in the name of Jesus, sometimes from other parts of the world. And people, you know, were asking for it and giving us names of other people. And I think at that point, somewhere there in the 80s, Pastor started working for the university system because there really wasn't enough money to support a family. So he always was very, very, very busy. I mean, he was always doing the work of, I don't know, 3-4 people at least. But anyway, in fact, he'd have to take time off to write the newsletter. And he would work overtime sometimes. Instead of taking money, he would take time. And that's when he would write the newsletter. So it was like continually. But at that time, I know Chuck and Carla got a hold of us at that point and began having studies in Pickett. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I know he went through the Bible with them, you know. And just later, as time kind of tamed for me, I got to join at times too. And you know, it was the goodness of the Lord just bringing us people. And there was another thing that was really amazing. The Lord always supplied our needs. I mean, it was really something. There was one point. David was going to go to Madison. That's where we had a publisher that would print for us the newsletter, and he'd go there every month to have it printed. And this one month, we really didn't have enough money at the moment to pay for that printing. So we'd called them and said, well, is it possible we could charge it? And they said, oh, sure. But the amazing thing is, it's not really what we wanted to do. We didn't really want to charge newsletter, you know. We have God that knows how to supply our needs according to his riches and glory. And you know what? It was just as Pastor was going out the door, looked in the mailbox, a couple letters in the mailbox. He opened up those letters. There was money in them, and it was enough money almost to the letter. Almost to the exact sum to pay for the printing of that newsletter. And praise the Lord that God has always supplied our needs. We never had to beg. We still don't beg. We don't, you know, we do realize that it takes funds. And people send us what they can. And the Lord gives the increase. And you know, some people have much to send and can't do that. And the Lord uses that. Some have little. And we have a prison ministry besides. And we send to the inmates who have basically no funds. They're indigent as a whole. But the Lord supplies. The Lord knows how to do it. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And he knows how to help his people too. He knows how to supply our needs and give us what we have need of. Oh, praise the Lord. We serve a mighty God. We serve a mighty God, and praise the Lord, he used that newsletter. You know, we had people from various parts of the country come here. You know, just some beautiful people that the Lord would send from here and there. And I just was always so exciting to meet the new faces and you know, have new acquaintances that we could call from. And, you know, I just thank God. I know it was the Lord's work, and you know, I just, something else that Pastor started to do after a while. I think after a while he realized that he had quite a testimony that most people don't have. The Lord had taken him out of witchcraft. And he had quite a background. When he was a teenager, he used to sit on the back steps and pray that evil spirits would come into him. And he was working with astrology. He was writing out charts for people. And, you know, they were coming to him, actually. He even had a following as a teenage boy. There were people in Clintonville. They all knew him. He was often dressed in a black cape and walking around. And they all knew him, that kind of weird guy there in Clintonville, Wisconsin. But you know what? There was a woman. She was in the church. And she saw him. And she would inquire, who is that? who is that boy? And, you know, who is he? The Lord put David on her heart. And she would pray for him. She'd sit on her porch and pray for him. You know what? It was that day. He was 19 years old. And, oh boy, praise the Lord. He made his way to a little Pentecostal church and realized how he needed the Lord Jesus. Wow, praise the Lord. That woman's prayers were answered. Sister Hart, the Lord answered her prayers and God saved him. You know, there was a new David. I didn't know the old one, so I can't quite tell you how that was. But anyway, the Lord reached out and saved him, and he came to church. He actually came with a high school friend, and this guy was not living for the Lord. In fact, he would take David to bars. They would go together, and David would have a Coca-Cola or something, and then this other guy would drink. And he was going to the church, but yet somehow he was the instrument that God used to take him to this little church that preached the gospel. And one night, yes, David repented of his sins. The next night, the next Sunday, he was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of his sins. And then he said, Lord, now I need to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And it was really something. He was just seeking the Lord because he didn't get the Holy Ghost right away. And he said, Lord, why haven't I received the Holy Ghost? You know, he didn't quite know. But he was a student at that time, and he went to Appleton, and he just thought he needed a little Bible that he could put in his pocket. He was out there in the streets preaching to people. I mean, the Lord used David almost immediately after he was converted. But in the meantime, before he received the Holy Ghost, it was probably the third week after he came into the church, he's thinking, I need a little Bible that I can put in my pocket and carry around with me. And he went there to a stationery store there in Appleton and bought himself a little Bible, a pocket Bible. And the marker in that Bible was in Isaiah 47. And he opened up that Bible, took the wrap off the Bible, the wrapping on the outside of the Bible off, and opened it up. There was a marker, and it pointed to Isaiah 47, and it stood out. It said, verse 12, stand now with thy enchantments and with thy multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth, if so be thou shalt be able to profit, if so be thou mayest prevail. In verse 13 particularly, thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. Behold, they shall be a stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor a fire to sit before it. He read those scriptures and he realized, oh, up on the shelves, what did he have? He had all that astrology equipment, all those materials. And he realized before the Lord was going to fill him with the Holy Ghost, he had to get rid of that. He had to get rid of that. And praise the Lord, he did. He gathered all that stuff down, all those charts that he had made and all those books, all the stuff pertaining to witchcraft. He took it out and he didn't have a way to burn it at the moment, which would have been wonderful, but he put it in the garbage. And praise the Lord, it was hauled away. It was taken from him. And, you know, that Sunday he said, Lord, now I've obeyed you. Now please fill me with the Holy Ghost. And praise the Lord, there it was that Sunday, yes. God filled him with the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And there was a new man walking in his shoes at that point. He was never the same after that. The Lord delivered him. When he was baptized, he couldn't even see the ground. It seemed like he felt like he was so elevated. But all those unclean spirits, all those demonic things that had been in his life left him by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ in the name of Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. But that's what the Lord does for us when we come to him in repentance and submit our lives to him and praise the Lord for that. But anyway, as time went on here in our ministry in Beaver Dam, Pastor realized that he needed to bring out more of this, how God had delivered him and set him free. And he began to do some seminars. Our very first seminar, we see Brother Fred back here today, and our very first seminar was in Port Washington. And I'll tell you what, I guess I believe it was two nights, but wow, the Kanskis really helped us prepare for that. We couldn't have done it without them, but the Lord used that. And it wasn't just the teaching, but there were some very provoking questions that were asked after that. And, you know, that series still goes out. It was recorded, thank God, and that series has gone out, and it helped a lot of people. But that was the start of some seminars that Pastor did here and there, and we did some traveling. The Lord took us, and this is quite a story too, how he took us to New York. We had actually ended up in New York City 14 times, but Pastor was not one to travel. But it was like, it was the early 90s, I think 93 or so. I know Anna was quite young at that point, and finally I could travel a bit, and his job, the sergeant company, took him out to actually Connecticut, New Haven, Connecticut, for a seminar there, and I got to go with him, and we had some free time that we could do this and that, and so we did. We actually went to Boston, but some other things, but while he was in classes, I just kind of had free time. I didn't have to go to classes with him, so I just kind of was walking around in New Haven, and I saw this sign to New York City. It was, you know, the number of miles, and I just felt such a compulsion to go to New York City. I just really did. I was just about ready to start walking. And it was an amazing thing. Like, I mean, Pastor could have dreamed of going to New York City. But you know what? Just after that, we got this letter from Bill Rock in Staten Island. And he wanted to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and didn't know who was going to be able to baptize him. And you know what? That took us to New York City. Praise the Lord. The Lord took us there. And we were able to baptize Bill and the Lord. It was an amazing thing. There was also a girl from Jamaica that we baptized on that trip. And that's, I mean, it was miracle after miracle. The Lord brought that into our path. The Lord did that. I mean, she was writing with my oldest daughter, Ruth, and she, Ruth was sharing with her various tapes and recordings and materials and things from her heart, and God reached out to this Jamaican girl too, and it was just amazing. We were just getting ready to go to New York, and here she had this request to be baptized too. So we had two baptisms on that first trip, and it was just the start. We were getting acquainted with the United Nations and various other endeavors, CNA and all, just or the CRA, the collateral, trilateral group there in that area, all of those, the One World people that... Trilateral Commission and all of those people. We began doing things like standing in front of their buildings and praying, things like that, or going into the UN and praying a lot and asking provoking questions and calling upon the Lord. Well, I'll tell you what, the Lord did a lot. He did a lot, more than I could ever say at this moment. But that was the beginning of that. And we had some tremendous seminars. Remember one in Washington, the state of Washington, where we baptized several people, I think about 10 different people. You could feel the presence of the Lord. It was so thick in that place. It was like you never wanted to leave there because you could feel God so strongly. I'll tell you what, all of us, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. If you've never been in God's presence, you don't know how glorious that is. When you know he's right there with you, you can feel him, and there's no question in your life. But then, yes, there, if we were in a hotel and gathered around a pool and God's presence was there, and Pastor had a vision at that point. He could see the throne of God and one that sat on the throne.
Because
I had a glimpse of heaven at that point. I didn't have that glimpse, but wow, I could feel the presence of the Lord. And it was just really something because we baptized those 10 people, if I remember. And right after we were done, there had been some complaints, and then here came some of the management to tell us that we had to leave. But praise the Lord, we'd baptized those people. The Lord had worked. The work was done. And they hadn't stopped us. And to thank the Lord. But that was just one of many things that the Lord did for us as time went by. He was using that newsletter and he was allowing the ministry to reach people that we would never have reached by any means if we would have stayed in that organization. It was a whole new realm of people. And oh wow, we knew it was the work of the Lord. We knew it was God who was doing that. And oh, we thank God. It was just every one of you who came to the Lord and received Him as your Lord and Savior and were baptized in the waters of baptism. What a wonderful day that was. Oh, praise the Lord. When the Lord meets us. Oh my, and we could call upon Him. There's nothing like that. And that's nothing like that. And then when He fills us with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, wow, there's no joy like that. My peace I give unto you, peace like the world doesn't give. And, you know, He said to those that were with Him there before, He ascended and He said, I'm with you, but I will be in you. He puts the Holy Ghost within us to lead and to guide us into all truth so that we can feel it in our hearts, so we can hear that little voice saying, this is the way, walk in it. When you go to the right and when you go to the left, the Lord is there. He speaks to our hearts so that we can know. We can be led by the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord in one day. Oh, yes, we could stand before Him because we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. He's taken those sins, those dreadful, ugly sins from us. He's remitted them. They've been buried, oh, thank God, in that sea of forgetfulness. Oh, He doesn't retain them. He doesn't remember them. They're forgotten. They're forgiven. And behold, all things have become new. We become new creatures in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for His wonderful works, for what He does. And oh, wow, we just all know that time went on. And, you know, Pastor, after a while, he felt like it was time to quit the university. I think it was around 1998. And it was kind of a struggle at first because didn't really know. I had a big family and how we're going to make everything meet, you know, all the expenses and all of that, and Lord, what do you really want to do? And I know he just really wrestled with that. But the Lord gave him that confidence to do it, and I mean, he had thought, well, it would be so neat if our house was paid for, then we wouldn't have monthly house payments. But no, he had stopped that university job first, and he stopped it by faith. Wasn't going to have any insurance anymore or any of those kind of things, but it was an amazing thing because a short time after he quit that job and he'd worked for 10 years for that system, we were able to pay off our house. And everything changed with the ministry all at once. It had grown throughout the years, but it really began to grow after that. It had to be the Lord. He was seeing faith. You know, He still sees faith today. Sometimes you have to step out. You might not know what God's going to ask you to do. And it might seem kind of strange to people. It might not even seem real sensible. But if the Lord is in it, if He puts faith in your heart, there's nothing too hard for Him. And He's going to see to it that your needs are supplied. He's going to help you. He's going to take charge. He's going to lead you by His strong hand. And praise the Lord, we saw the Lord do that. Saw the Lord do that. And, you know, it was like all at once, yes, our needs were greatly supplied, you know, and we were able to do things with our funds. We were able to save a little bit. And God was just so rich, so dear, and you just saw more people added to the kingdom of God because of that. Praise the Lord. But of course, we know that our faith was tried many, many times. You know, I just, 2005, Pastor became very ill, very ill. I just, we were teaching in New York, actually this time in Troy, near Albany. And it was a seminar there too. They had asked him to speak. He was to speak on the last day. He was so sick. I could tell you, there was a lot of things that had happened. He had wounds on his feet. One wound had healed, and the other hadn't, because other circumstances. And anyway, long story, but anyway, he was really gravely ill. And I remember before he was speaking on that Sunday, he was the last speaker to speak, I think, during that seminar. And one of the brothers laid hands on him and prayed for him. And he did beautifully. I mean, it was a beautiful message. And well received and all. But after it, he didn't have any strength. They came and got me and said, it was a church school too. They had a school there. There was a nurse's room, and he was in the nurse's room, and all of that. Well, long story short, God got us back. An airplane. He was really, really sick. I had to go to Eau Claire at that point. I promised my dad I'd be with him, and David went with me, and he was there. He went to the Sacred Heart Hospital eventually because he was really getting ready to shut down. His body was ready to quit at that moment. But the Lord gave him more years. The Lord gave him more time. And praise the Lord, Lord healed him from all of that. He did have a couple toes amputated because they were gangrenous. But somehow the Lord used it all, and he was able to get back. He was able to walk and do most everything. At that point, the Lord gave him more time. But praise the Lord. And we just know that, you know, 2010, I was just had those horrific headaches. And they were so bad that, you know, afterwards they told us that they probably were strokes. I don't know exactly, but he had sinus issues. And it seemed like mold had filled that cavity, and they did one surgery to remove it, but didn't quite know. And 2 months later, it obviously had come back, but he couldn't fight off airborne mold at that point. And we know that June 8th, 2010, the Lord took him home. Things that we don't see and we don't fully understand, you know, but God did that. And you know, everything is in God's hands. Our lives are in God's hands. We give our lives to the Lord. He knows our days. And you know, I'm convinced that we're not going to perish unless it is the Lord's timing. In fact, I know when I was, I think I was maybe 20 years old, and I was getting ready to go on an airplane. It was my first airplane flight. I felt very impressed that I needed to go to a seminar in St. Louis, Missouri, and nobody else in my family had ever flown at that point, and I just, wow, you all kind of just a little bit edgy about it. But the Lord talked to me before I went on that trip. I mean, he let me know. He said, you know, you're my child, and as a father takes care of his own, he said, I'm going to take care of you, and your life is in my hands, and you're not going to perish. You're not going to die until it's time. You know, I've got work for you to do. You're going to go on living. And praise the Lord. God so reassured me. And I was able to do that. And oh my, it was one of the best things I ever did in my life. But that's another story. But anyway, praise the Lord. I'm just so thankful the Lord reassured me in it. And that's how I feel, that when it's time for us to go, the Lord takes us home. He takes us home, and so it is. We're with the Lord then. It's certainly wonderful to be at home with the Lord, to have our life lived, and you know, have it all over in this respect to the things that we go through on this in this lifetime. You know, it's true. We don't always understand and know the reasons. But praise the Lord. The Lord has sustained us. The Lord has helped us. The Lord allowed this ministry to go on. And pastor's ministry still goes on too. His CDs and DVDs and all of that are still going out there. I'm still hearing from people. And praise the Lord for that. And we're still here. And I thank God Brother Tim was able to come and fill in the gap there. As you know, those first years after Pastor went home, and we were able to continue to minister here. And here we are with Samuel. And you know, God has helped us. God has sustained us. And praise the Lord, we're still baptizing people. Praise the Lord. I'm just so thankful the Lord is still working in our midst. Yes, and you know, we've got Rob and Tori here and their family. And you know, the Lord has worked in their hearts. And I thank God. You know, there's just no standing still in this race that we're in here. There's no standing still. We can't look back and say, oh, I've done enough, Lord. I can rest on all my past and all the things that, you know, my laurels, oh, all those things. Oh, yeah, Lord, that's got to be good enough. No. Oh, we're in a race. It's a race until the end. And there's work to be done for the Lord. There's no stopping in this race. We've got to continue. We've got to endure it to the end. And if we're still here on this earth, then God's got work for us to do. God's got a mission. There's a cause. There's a purpose. Oh, there's people out there that are lost, and they need the Lord Jesus. They need to be found. There's got to be hungry hearts, because I know the Lord. He's waiting. He has long patience until he receives the early and the latter rain. He's holding out that sickle that he's going to draw onto the earth when he reaps it. And it's going to be too late to, oh, wow, when that angel stands one foot in the land and one foot in the sea and says, time shall be no more. It's going to be over. It's going to be too late at that moment. But praise the Lord, we still have opportunity. We still have a chance to work for the Lord and do the Lord's work. There's no looking back. We can rest in the promises of God and know that He is with us, and that He is faithful who has called us. He is faithful. He can give us that kind of sustaining faith that we need to endure until the end. Just going to read another scripture here before I close. And truly, I'm just thankful for each of you that are here today. The Lord calls us. He gives us this opportunity. He gives us space, this precious moment called time, that we can give our lives to the Lord. We can work for Him while we still have breath. You know, it's going to be all over one of these days. We don't know when He's going to call us and we're going to be home with the Lord, and it's going to be too late to do anything more for Him. But right now we have time. We have opportunity. But this is what we do. This is Philippians, the 3rd chapter, verse 13. This is Paul speaking, and I don't know too many people like Paul who went through so many unbelievable things for the kingdom of God's sake. Oh, yes, he had a heinous past. He did things that he couldn't believe, that he sorely, sorely regretted in his earlier days. But there was something within him that compelled him. Just like with Pastor Meyer, he realized what his past had been. And oh, he wanted to redeem it. He wanted to do as much for the kingdom of God's sake that he possibly could to redeem that. And Paul had that same thing within him. Yes, he had persecuted the church of Christ, or the church of God. But yet there was something within him that pushed him forward, that pushed him forward. He kept on reaching out. Oh, he suffered this, he suffered that, that loss, that rejection, oh, that infirmity. But he kept on reaching out. And this is what he said. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended or obtained. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He was reaching out. You know, he wasn't going to rest in his past, in any laurels, anything that he had done. He wasn't going to rest in his mistakes either. He was going to leave them behind. But the blood of Jesus covered them. They're gone. And praise the Lord, they're gone. The Lord has covered them. And wow, it's a snare, it's a hindrance that sometimes the Lord, or sometimes actually the devil tries to bring them back to mind and cause you all kinds of conflicts. But they're gone. Praise the Lord Jesus has redeemed us. But Paul was able to put those things behind him. So he said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, that past, that ugly past, that those sins I lived in the past, they're gone. And reaching forth unto those things which are before. Hey, I'm striving for something. There's a plan, there's a purpose. There's people to reach. There's work to be done. There's goals to gain. There's heaven to reach. I'm going to reach forth. I've got work to do. My greatest days are ahead. I'm going to go do it. Whatever the Lord calls to be done, it's going to be done. The Lord will help us and we will have faith. Oh, that faith that we need. For without faith, it is impossible. It is impossible to do the work of the Lord. You have to claim it. You have to believe it. You have to walk in it. You have to stand in it. But Paul was, he was pressing toward a mark. He was pressing toward something. He had a goal. And he was going to reach it. He was going to reach as many people as he possibly could. In that reaching out, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord, we can do that. Oh, praise the Lord, our work isn't done, and we're sitting here today. Our work isn't done. There's more to do for the Lord. There's goals to be gained. And oh boy, I think of this as a new start. This is a new opportunity to reach out and do more than I've ever done before. I hope all of you will have that in your heart too. A new day, a new beginning, a new time to reach out and work for the Lord while there's still time. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's worship him. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, we thank you, Jesus, and we praise you, Lord. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, stir our hearts and help us, Lord, to walk in the light, to do your will, Lord. Oh, God, to attain, oh, Lord, thy precious promises. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Don't be afraid to cry out to the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Don't be afraid to cry out to the Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord. We come unto thee, Lord, believing that thou art. And, oh, God, thy promises. Oh, God, are forever lasting, Lord God. Oh, God, and you are with us, Lord. You're with us to lead and guide us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord, Samuel.